You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
I've been seeing Blue Tansy everywhere in skincare lately, but I actually discovered it through one of my favorite clean brands, Primally Pure. I didn't believe in natural deodorant until I tried their best-selling Blue Tansy deodorant. This one is actually clean, and it actually works. Blue Tansy is this really calming antioxidant that helps soothe irritation and inflammation, especially if your skin tends to react easily in areas like underarms. And what I love is that the same ingredient runs through their entire soothing collection, from facial mists when you need a little pick-me-up to their soothing spirulina face mask, packed with raw honey, kaolin clay, and wild-crafted botanicals. I've honestly never experienced anything like it. So if your skin has been feeling a little overwhelmed lately, return to calm with Primally Pure. Their Blue Tansy line is a beautiful place to start.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
And good morning and happy Tuesday to everybody. Hope everyone had a great three-day weekend. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. We're looking at groups of players in the same round at the same position who has the most upside. Doesn't necessarily mean you should draft them first in that group, but it's a fun conversation to have. Good morning, Dave.
Is this a game of who has more?
I didn't think of it that way, but it certainly can be. Good morning, Heath.
Hi, Adam.
Hey, Jamie. Good morning. Or hey, good morning, Jamie.
Congratulations to your Knicks.
Woo! Somebody had to say it. Thank you. Thank you, Jamie. Yeah.
They're fun.
They're not that fun. I can tell you. You know, I was group chatting. Yeah, no, I was, you know.
Are you kidding me?
Listen. I was group texting with my cousins, who are big Knicks fans, and they say they were almost on the verge of tears during the trophy presentation. I'm like, we killed them. We destroyed them three games in a row. We're killing everyone. This isn't fun. This is embarrassing.
What you're saying is embarrassing. This is, as someone whose basketball team hasn't barely sniffed the playoffs in 2 decades, feels like 2 decades. It's more like one. Like, I would be having the time of my life if my team were in the finals right now.
It's just
and you're not
easy.
Calling them fun.
It's just
you're not allowed
easy.
To watch anymore. You're not allowed to watch your team in the finals. Now. That's it. That's it.
I'm sure I'll have tennis and softball matches conflicting, but it's
softball
just,
matches.
It's too. Oh yeah, softball matches. Too easy. It's just too easy right now. You know, it's hard to.
Who do you want? Who do you want to see?
Spurs. Spurs in seven is my Western Conference hope. You know, I think we can take them. I don't think we can take a healthy Thunder, but no, you never know. They're playing great. Anyway, also, you know, the other thing is they've clinched all three rounds on the road, which is a little anticlimactic. Like, I don't get to celebrate with their fans. But, you know, Knicks in five. Do they still do 2-3-2 or do they do 2-2-1-1-1?
Oh, my God.
In the finals. They do 1-1-1 now?
Yes.
Okay, then Knicks in six. All right. So this episode's about upside. So I did all this research this morning that I don't think is going to really apply to anyone we talk about today because we're starting in round three. But I just thought I have some interesting numbers. I think you might find them a little fascinating just for your round one and two guys, maybe round three. What do you need to be a running back who averages 19 or more PPR fantasy points per game over the last 5 years? Most of them had 21 touches per game. And if they didn't, almost all of the guys who didn't have 21 touches per game had at least 4 catches per game. It's just a number you might want to look for. Wide receivers. This one was interesting. 20 wide receivers averaged 19 or more fantasy points per game in PPR over the last 5 years. All of them averaged 9.6 or more targets per game, except for Deebo Samuel, when he had all those, when 8 rushing touchdowns, 400-ish rushing yards, whatever it was. That was the only one. 9.6 targets per game to get to 19 or more PPR fantasy points per game for a wide receiver. I started this research, guys, because of Colson Loveland. And can he get enough targets to hit a certain number? So I went with 14 or more PPR fantasy points per game. For a tight end to get that over the last 5 years, most of them, other than George Kittle, have averaged 7 or more targets per game. Kittle 3 times and Tucker Kraft in 8 games last year are the only tight ends who got to 14 or more points per game without 7 or more targets. How about 15 or more points per game? That's a more exclusive club. All of the guys, I think there have been 7 tight ends in the last 5 years who've gotten to 15 points per game. They've all averaged 8.4 targets per game or more, except for George Kittle. So that's just a number there. 15 points per game is really elite. How many tight ends would you draft and be disappointed if they averaged exactly 15 points per game?
Two.
Okay, so you'd take that for Loveland.
Yes.
Are you kidding? Of course.
Yeah. Would you take 14 points per game for Loveland?
Yes.
Okay. You think he'll get 8 or more targets per game?
No.
Think he'll get 7?
Around 7, yes.
I think it'll be around 8 per game.
Heath?
I'm trying to do some math. So that's 136 targets. So what?
That's 8.
8 or 7?
That's 8. 8 per game. Yeah.
Okay. 8 per game is 136 targets. I think somebody on the Bears between Burden, Odunze, and Loveland will get to 8. I have all 3 of them at 7.5.
7.5? Okay. Well, that's great. That's great for Loveland. All right. So, yeah, that's the elites. That's what we're looking at in terms of touches and targets. Heath, what are we looking at for FFT Dynasty this week?
I got Smitty coming on in about an hour and 10 minutes. We're playing 2 today. It's a doubleheader.
Oh.
We're talking about some of the injury storylines that we're watching going into this season. And if any of those matter for a Dynasty perspective, other than the fact that they might be cheaper to acquire right now.
Okay. Well, certainly Malik Nabers is going to be discussed on that show. We'll get to him in a minute. Mailbag Thursday. Yay. Thursday mailbag. Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We got a lot of emails, so a lot to catch up on. News and notes. Heath, Malik Nabers. Giants aren't sure when he's going to be able to play. Looking at early CBS ADP, he's going, I think, 25th overall. Where do we need to be drafting Malik Nabers?
I think I've got him right around 30, maybe just ahead of. I think it's interesting because it's not just when he's going to play, but if he's going to be the same guy. I think if you told everybody, you know what, he's going to start on the pup. He's not going to play the first 4 weeks, but then he's going to be the Malik Nabers that we've seen in the past for the last 13 weeks of the season. We might still take him at 25th. But the concern is that not just that he misses a couple of games at the start of the year, but that he's not the same guy.
Yep. Moved him down this morning, round 4.
Wow.
Well, you know, in the spirit of the discussion we're having today, if we're thinking about upside, you know, right now he's going in between Nico Collins and A.J. Brown, but I would expect that to drop to the Chris Olave, Devontae Smith, Tedrell McMillan, Emeka Buka, T. Higgins range. Late round 3 and into round 4. Those guys are all round 3 picks right now on CBS. But we're talking about Malik Nabers, Jamie. So we got a 30th overall roughly for Heath. We got round 4 for Dave, which is 37th or later. What about you for Nabers?
Or we call him 40th overall for me.
Okay, 40th.
He's the end of round 3, 36.
Right in the middle. But very adorbs. Okay, and that's Nabers. More news. Matthew Stafford signed a contract extension through 2027. So, Dave, what do you think that would mean for anyone who would be wanting to draft Ty Simpson in a dynasty league right now?
Shouldn't be surprising. Simpson is a long-term play in dynasty. It's as simple as that. When he gets his opportunity, hopefully he's ready to go. And I'm happy for Stafford. Got paid. One way to feel better about your team taking a quarterback in round 1 is to get $55 million in your bank account. And now we see Stafford with one of the best receiving cores in the NFL, a good offensive line. There's potential for it to be solid even after this season. I think you can feel good about Stafford going into 2026.
Right now, you can't feel great about Jacoby Brissett. He and the Cardinals are not close on contract negotiations, according to ESPN. This doesn't seem like a big deal, but Devon Achan missed at least one OTA session with an unknown injury, according to the Miami Herald. Anybody moved Achan based on this report?
Nope.
Not me.
No, okay. Still a round two pick.
This does seem like a big deal. Adam Schefter reporting that Tyreek Hill may not be ready until midway through the season, recovering from a broken leg. Right? Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Didn't he tear ligaments in his knee too?
Yeah, I think it was just a like massive injury.
Yeah, it was a bad one. The Chiefs
like everything broke.
Have no plans to extend Rashee Rice before the season starts, according to Schefter, and he's set to be a free agent. Not Schefter. I don't know his contract status, but Rice is set to be a free agent after this season. Dalton Kincaid said this is probably the best he has ever felt at this point in the year. He's really battled injuries, especially over the last 2 years. Last season, Kincaid didn't even crack 50 targets. He did get to 40, but he had 2.83 yards per out run, which is the best yards per out run for a tight end with 40 or more targets since George Kittle in 2020. I will warn you, Chig Okonkwo once averaged 2.65 yards per out run in 2022 on 46 targets, but Kincaid was really efficient last year, just couldn't really stay on the field as they were limiting his workload. He feels good. Joe Ortiz, the GM of the Chargers, did not rule out signing Keenan Allen. We don't want that. For fantasy purposes, but for Keenan Allen's purposes, that would be very nice for him. Bryce Young is looking really good at OTAs, according to Cameron Wolf of NFL Network. Brandon Ayuk, according to Cam Inman of the Mercury News, is expected to be released or traded by the end of the summer. Pittsburgh offensive tackle Broderick Jones, hey, he's got this neck injury. He says he has no timeline for a return. And the Giants, looks like they lost a starting defensive tackle, perhaps. Roy Robertson Harris, at least a rotational player, probably for the season with a torn Achilles. Tough break there. Break or upside? Break or upside? Break. Let's do upside. All right, let's go to round three. If you go to CBSSports.com, best way to do is probably to Google it. CBS Sports ADP and check our PPR ADP, and we'll show you the results here as we take you through round three. I'll group them by position. Running backs drafted in round three. Who has the most upside, Heath Cummings? Jeremiah Love, Breece Hall, or Kyren Williams?
I'll play my role and be the guy to say Kyren Williams. And I think there's a couple of paths to that happening. One is something happens to Blake Corum and all of a sudden Kyren Williams has 22 touches a game. Two is we're not going to do the Davante Adams goal line wide receiver thing anymore, and Kyren Williams gets back to 16 touchdowns in a season.
So I should have laid out these parameters, and I apologize. I always do that to you. But I think let's do non-injury upside. If you want to mention injury upside, I think it's worth mentioning. Sure. And he's in a situation like is Kyren Williams' situation any different than, well, if there's a James Conner, I guess we would need a Conner and Algier injury.
Yes, because the Rams offense is good and is going to score a bunch of touchdowns.
Sure. Okay. All right. But I think let's do non-injury upside. But if you think it's really worth mentioning injury upside, like in a T. Higgins or something like that, then I think go ahead and bring it up. But if we take injuries away from the equation, would you still pick Kyren in this group of Love, Hall, Kyren?
I'll still say Kyren because I think the touchdown upside and how good the offense is.
Dave, who's got the most upside? Jeremiah Love, Breece Hall, Kyren Williams.
I'll play my role and say Jeremiah Love. I think he's got the path to, I don't know if path is the right word. Let me start over. I think he's got the most talent of these three running backs. And I know that sounds silly. He's a rookie. He's never played in the NFL. I've watched all three of these guys. I just love what Love brings to the field. Will he have that pathway to have the type of workload that these other two running backs, who I think are going to end up sharing, as long as everybody's healthy, will have? Well, he's going to share too. But I think he's going to be better than we think he is as a pass catcher. I think he'll be used that way a lot. And I think he could probably lead this trio in total yardage. The touchdowns is what I worry about. And I'm not sure if Arizona's on the same level as LA when it comes to touchdowns. They're not. But I do think that there is a chance for him. Let's call it 17 PPR points per game. Not saying he's going to do it. I'm saying he's got the upside to get there. And I don't quite see that for Breece Hall. And Kyren can get there. Kyren's got the safer floor. But I think that Jeremiah Love has just a little bit more upside because he's just the better talent in Arizona compared to Kyren sharing with Corum, maybe even to a 50-50 split in LA.
Jamie, who has the most upside? Jeremiah Love, Breece Hall, or Kyren Williams?
Yeah, I would have said Breece Hall anyway, so I'll make the case for him just because what we saw from him at times in his career, and obviously the knock for Breece Hall is going to be he's on a terrible team. He's always been on a terrible team. So, you know, what we saw at the start of his rookie season before the ACL tear, what we saw from him as a pass catcher coming back in his second year when nobody expected him to do anything from a production standpoint, he can – I think win in all categories except for maybe the touchdown potential that Kyren Williams has, but he's sharing the least of these three by far, you know, even if he is going to share at all. So maybe Braylon Allen coming back from injury is going to have a role. Maybe Isaiah Davis is going to have a role. They clearly just paid Breece Hall to be a featured back. We know for right now, at least Jeremiah Love is sharing with potentially two other running backs. And clearly the Rams have made it clear that they want to make it a you know, the reports at least a 50-50 split with Blake Corum. We saw what that was like at the end of last season. So I think the safest of the three is easily Kyren Williams. I think the other two have potentially more upside if things work their way. But obviously just from a who's sharing the least, it's clearly Breece Hall. So Hall and Love are on terrible offenses right now. I think Hall can get back to being a factor in the passing game. I don't know if he will, but he can. And then clearly he has the potential to be the best runner of this trio because he's already shown it. So I'm hopeful for Breece Hall. Now, he's ranked last of these three for a variety of reasons. But I think just looking at it in terms of everything goes right and nobody is removed from the roster, whether due to injury or personnel changes, Breece Hall is going to get the most touches of this trio if everything goes in his favor.
All right, I'll come back to that, the touches debate, after a break. So we'll take a break, and then we'll finish up the running backs in this round. Only three, only Love, Hall, and Kyren Williams. And then we'll talk about a lot of wide receivers going in round three right now. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
I feel like we've all been taught to be scared of the sun. Avoid it. Reapply constantly. Cover up immediately. But recently, I started questioning that. The sun actually plays a role in things like your mood, sleep, and hormones. So I'm not avoiding it anymore. I'm just more intentional about what I put on my skin when I'm in it. A lot of conventional SPFs are filled with things like hormone-disrupting chemicals, seed oils, and synthetic ingredients, so I started looking for something simpler. That's what led me to Primally Pure's SPF. It's super minimal, only 9 ingredients, using non-nano zinc, plus really nourishing things like tallow and mango butter. I've been using their sun cream, and it honestly feels more like skincare than sunscreen. Lightweight, not chalky, and just easy to wear. So if you've been rethinking your sunscreen, Primally Pure is one of the best places to start.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
All right, so here's the funny thing about Breece Hall. Breece Hall for the season. Well, actually, let me say Kyren Williams. Like once Corum started getting involved more, let's go from week 7. I mean, I could even go back to week 4 for Kyren Williams. But from week 7 on, and including the playoffs, Kyren Williams averaged 14.9 carries per game. Most weeks, he was right around 13 or 14 carries per game. He had a couple of 3 weeks with over 20, but 14.8 carries per game for Kyren Williams. And then you go, oh, Breece Hall wasn't really sharing with anyone. Braylon Allen had the season-ending injury early. Breece Hall for the entire season averaged 15.1 carries per game. And that was dominating carries for the team, but they just couldn't really run the ball because they stunk, you know? So I don't know, Jamie, when you think of it that way, with almost the worst of Kyren Williams was roughly 15 carries per game. And then Breece Hall is more or less the feature back all year was 15.1, 15.2 carries per game. You know, what do you think about that going into 2026?
I mean, look, again, he's ranked third of this group. I have it love Kyren Breece, but the question being upside, I'm not expecting Breece Hall's 2025 to carry over to 2026. I mean, that was, I think, as bad as we've seen for the Jets during his time there. So
yep.
I'm counting on it being a quarterback upgrade. I'm counting on the offensive line being better. They really focused on adding pieces to this offense with two first round picks. So the hope would be, and again, it's hope, but you know, again, we're talking about the most rosy outcome here, is that we see Breece Hall getting back involved, not to what he was in his second season, you know, 70 catch guy, but I think he could be a 40 catch guy. And then hopefully getting a couple more touchdown opportunities because the team is better. And then the contract speaks to, okay, this is our guy, you know, because they could have easily said, we're going to let you play it out, the franchise tag, and then we're done with you. Like, this is a guy that they invested in with a team, I think, that's trying to compete in 2027 and beyond. I don't think they're going to be a competitive team this year. They'll be better, but they don't think they're a Super Bowl team or even a playoff team. So I just think you look at Breece Hall again, if everything works out for these guys, as you know, gave us the caveat, no injuries, he doesn't have to worry about that. I think Kyren needs Blake Corum to be missing time to maximize his potential. And we've seen his points per game go down each of the last 3 years. And I think in the case of Jeremiah Love, if this is a three-headed monster, it could be awful on a bad team. You know, so while talent-wise, he's significantly better on paper than Tyler Allgeier and James Conner at this point in his career. Like, if Jeremiah Love is losing passing down work to Conner or whatever work to Conner and losing touchdown opportunities to Tyler Allgeier, then we're talking about a trap back. Now, again, looking at upside, I think Jeremiah Love has immense upside. But I think if you say all three, this happens, this happens, this happens, nothing changes personnel-wise, Breece Hall's going to be better than the other two.
Okay. That's three different takes. I guess I'm not going to weigh in much, but I think I'll break the tie here. Give me Kyren Williams with the most upside. Last year, the Rams had 24 carries from the three-yard line or closer. The Cardinals had 12, and the Jets had 5. So 24 for the Rams, 17 for the Cardinals and Jets combined. It's the touchdowns, but I see all your points. All right, let's go to wide receivers.
How many of those did Kyren have?
I don't know. At some point, they split pretty evenly. I remember that. Like,
I know. Would you say inside the five?
Three. 1 to 3 yard line.
Three? All right, give me a minute.
Yeah. All right, while you do that, Heath, let's take a look at the wide receivers. I'm going to split the wide receivers up, the first three and the last five. A lot of wide receivers in this round. The first three are Nico Collins, Malik Nabers, and A.J. Brown. The last five are Olave, Devontae Smith, McMillan, Abuka, T. Higgins. Nico, Nabers, A.J. Brown, who has the most upside?
So we're doing this non-injury upside, but how are we dealing with a guy who is currently injured?
I'm sorry. Non-injury upside as in non-injury to a teammate upside. So
I will say if Malik Nabers is healthy, I think he has the most upside.
But knowing what you know now, how do you look at their upside now? Because he's not healthy.
What? Right. But we're like 5 months from any football being, or 4 months from any football being played.
I think it's a really tough question.
3 months. It's 3.5 months.
It's like, four months is depressing,
Heath.
He's missing off-season workouts, though, so he's missing football.
Hold on a second. Do we all agree that if Nabers gets a couple of weeks worth of training camp practice, that he's got the most upside of the group?
I do not.
Okay.
Because we have enough track record of guys coming off of injuries that there's...
Yeah.
So,
fair. Totally fair. Just ask the question.
It's Nico for me. I'll just get the conversation started. I said I wasn't going to give opinions. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. It's Nico for me too.
It's Nico.
So I think it's Malik Nabers if he can get healthy, and Nico if he can be healthy for the first time ever.
But as things stand now, I think it's hard to really buy into Nabers.
I think it's hard to buy into Nico playing a full season healthy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Why isn't it A.J. Brown? Would none of us said A.J. Brown.
I think he would be next up for me.
Mm. Has there been, I'm trying to think of this, have there been, do we consider A.J. Brown still elite or near elite, I guess?
I think the volume will be.
No, just as a player.
What you would expect. As a player, nah, it feels like he's going.
Okay, I guess let me rephrase it, because Davante Adams last year wasn't elite. But superstar caliber receiver, changes teams.
Yeah.
Has there been a guy that's been bad?
Like ever?
What a great probably. Question.
Randy Moss?
When he went to Oakland?
Mm-hmm.
Great call.
I would even say Devontae Adams when he went to Oakland. I mean, or Las Vegas, right? He was, I think he had a good year, but
He was pretty good.
But I mean, like terrible. Has anybody been terrible?
Yes.
Because you think about like Stephon Diggs goes to Buffalo. He's, you know, and he's not an A.J. Brown. He didn't have A.J. Brown's resume at that point. Devontae Adams last year, I mean, you know, not great, but touchdowns were awesome.
Jamie, I'm not ruling out A.J. Brown as still an elite player. I mean,
yeah.
He was playing hurt all of last year on a bad offense that.
And he had that stretch where he was over 19 points per game. It was like a 6-game stretch.
And now he's going to Drake May. You know, I mean, when you look at the passing numbers for the Texans, sorry, I shouldn't just assume he's going to New England, but assume if he does, the passing numbers for the Giants who want to run the air out of the ball, the Texans and the Patriots, I mean, it could be a slaughter in favor of the Patriots. I might be changing my answer here. Of course, we have to treat it. He's still listed as on the Eagles, but that's just kind of how I'm seeing it, guys. Like, these are three tremendous receivers that should dominate targets for their teams, but the pie is much bigger. That's a word expression you use a lot, Heath. Like, the pie is bigger. I think you kind of use that in terms of targets, but if we just look at in terms of yards and touchdowns, I think it's going to be much bigger for the Patriots than it would be for the Giants or Texans. Yes.
Yeah. Bigger. I don't think it's going to be. I don't think the gap will be as big as it was last year. Like I've said before, I don't think Drake May is going to repeat his efficiency from last year.
I agree, but man, they have and it's, their schedule was so easy last year. It's a lot harder this year, especially the first four games. I forgot the note. I sent you guys an article, great article on CBSSports.com with all these schedule notes. The Patriots have, I don't know, one of the hardest first four games ever or something like that. So I think they're probably going to have to throw more. All right, so you got different answers there. Nico Collins or maybe Malik Nabers if he's healthy. Let's go to the last five in this group. Olave, Devontae Smith, Teteroa McMillan, Emeka Abuka, and T. Higgins. Olave, Devontae Smith, McMillan, Abuka, T. Higgins. Dave, who has the most upside?
First of all, these are the receivers ranked 12 through 16 in my PPR rankings, so I find that kind of amusing. I've got Abuka the highest of the group. We've seen him get a lot of targets already as a rookie on a team with Mike Evans, and then when Godwin came back, he was still getting a good target share. I hate that he got banged up and that Baker got banged up and it harpooned the year that Abuka was building last year, but we saw enough from him to recognize that he is a great talent who should command a lot of targets. It's a close call for me as far as upside goes between him, McMillan, who could also command a lot of targets, and Devontae Smith, who I'd be worried a little bit about target volume, but not efficiency with Philadelphia because they don't throw a lot. But Abuka's the one I'm drafting first from this group of five. I also have your Rams carries inside the three update for those who still give a damn about Kyren versus Corum.
All right, go ahead.
That's so 5 minutes ago.
Go ahead real quick on that.
Kyren had 13 carries inside the three, scored 7 touchdowns. Blake Corum had 9 carries inside the three. He scored 4 touchdowns. Stafford had the other 2 carries, no touchdowns.
So you said Abuka's ranked highest, but did you say he has the most upside among
highest because he has the most upside?
Okay. Olave, Devontae Smith, Teteroa McMillan, Abuka, T. Higgins. Jamie, who has the most upside?
It's Abuka. You know, again, what we saw in the first four games last year is, you know, something that I'm hoping is replicated to a degree because Evans is gone, because Godwin's a year older, because. I mean, there's just a lot to like about the situation here for him. And so hopefully Zach Robinson, the new offensive coordinator, recognizes the talent that Abuka has. And, you know, the fact that the Bucs, thinking ahead, drafted him with a first-round pick last year with, I think, the idea of him being the leader of this group or one of the leaders of this group this year. I kind of feel the same way about the trio of running backs that we talked about. To me, T. Higgins is the safest just because we've seen him, you know, be at this level. For the most part, he's got the most touchdown upside. He's shown that, you know, 21 touchdowns the last 2 years. So I think he's the safest of this group. But in terms of, I think, reaching another gear and hopefully doing it for a full season, I think it's Abuka.
Heath?
Yeah, I think it's Abuka. I've got a lot. Like, he's not first, second, or third for me in the rankings. of this group. I have a lot of concerns about his floor and the Tampa Bay offense in general. But if we get good Baker, then I think there's a very good chance that Ibuka just has a fantastic season. So I think he has the highest upside.
Man, Devontae Smith, I always say, like, Devontae Smith, when either A.J. Brown or Dallas Goedert hasn't been there, he basically performs like wide receiver 12 overall. And that's almost all of that is no Dallas Goedert. There have not been a lot of no A.J. Brown games. I think three
games. He's been 14.7 points or more in all three.
And I think he's averaged 8 or 9 targets per game. So that's exciting. And then Higgins had a season 2 years ago, 2024. He averaged 18.7 PPR fantasy points per game because he had 10 touchdowns in 12 games. But there's the possibility of Joe Burrow throwing 45 touchdowns. So, all right, fun group. We all set Ibuka?
Yep.
Cool. Let's move on to round. Oh, there's one tight end in this group. It's Brock Bowers. There are no quarterbacks in round three currently on our ADP. Brock Bowers. Does Brock Bowers, is there any wide receiver or running back I mentioned that has more upside than Brock Bowers? Love, Hall, Kyren, Nico, Neighbors, AJ Brown, Olave, Devontae Smith, McMillan, Ibuka, Higgins. Anyone have more upside than Bowers?
The only two for me would be Nico and AJ Brown, but I don't have it ranked that way.
Okay.
I think it depends on whether you're talking about like upside in terms of the total number of fantasy points they could score or upside in terms of compared to replacement cost at their position. Because I think upside in terms of the total number of fantasy points scored, most of the wide receivers have more upside.
Correct.
Right. Makes sense. Okay, let's go to round four. Round four, we got five running backs. Cam Scadaboo, Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams, Quinshon Judkins, and Bucky Irving. Just had a recent report about how the, not necessarily what the split will be, but how the Bucks will split touches in the backfield, but Bucky Irving will be the main guy. But Scadaboo, Etienne, Javonte Williams, Quinshon Judkins, Bucky Irving. Dave, you can start. Who has the most upside?
This is a tough one because you can make a case for almost every single one of these running backs. And I think if we're removing injury, I think I'd lean on Scadaboo. We saw the 6-game sample from last year. We know that he's usable as a pass catcher. We know that John Harbaugh has definitely been entrenched as a let's run the ball type of coach and commanding that from the offense. They're already talking like they want him to help shoulder that huge workload. I think he probably has the highest ceiling without considering injury at all.
Jamie, who has the most upside? Cam Scadaboo, Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams, Quinshon Judkins, Bucky Irving.
Yeah, I think Dave said it best. You can make a case for all these guys, especially if the Saints move on from Alvin Kamara. But I'm going to go with the two sophomores. I have Scadaboo ranked ahead of Judkins, but you know, you want to see hopefully these guys are back at 100%. Judkins has looked great by all accounts, so that's fun to see. But we saw Scadaboo last year in that stretch of games. That's, you know, that small sample size, but those 6 games, over 19 PPR points per game. And I think that's, you know, something that he could hopefully get close to with a full workload in this offense with now, you know, John Harbaugh as the head coach. Because what Harbaugh has done, and, it, you know, we talked about this a lot when Derrick Henry was going from Tennessee to Baltimore, he wins. And so anytime you have a situation where the team is ahead, there's going to be a lot of opportunities to run the ball. I think he'll be involved in the passing game. So I give a slight edge to Scadaboo over Judkins, but those are my two favorites.
He's on pace for 60 catches if you take out the 2 games Scadaboo played 21.2% or fewer of the snaps. And that's really a lot. Heath, who has the most upside in the group? Again, it's Scadaboo, Etienne, Javonte, Judkins, Bucky.
I would go with the two sophomores also, but I'll lean Judkins, of course, because I'm the Judkins guy. I think he's just a slightly better runner than Cam Scadaboo, and I think the receiving production you saw from Scadaboo last year is probably going to shrink drastically with Malik Nabers back and Isaiah Likely on the team.
Do you guys think Javonte Williams, I'm sorry to keep repeating it, I know if you're watching, it's easy to follow along. If you're listening, I don't know how easy it is to remember the 5 guys we're talking about at all times, but it's Scadaboo, Judkins, Etienne, Javonte, and Bucky Irving. Do you think Javonte Williams leads this group in snaps, or at least snap share?
If Kamara's still in New Orleans, yes.
It's either him or Quinshon.
I'm going to go with Quinshon.
Really?
Yeah.
So Javonte, they don't use him much on passing downs. I mean, that, I know he's not. Okay.
I don't even know what the snap share was for Javonte last year.
Yeah, take a look.
I'm looking at it now. It looks like for the season, well, he had a couple of games later in the year where he didn't play as much. 68% for the year. The first 13 games of the season, he was at 75%.
Wow. That's a big number, right?
Yes, the 75%. I don't think Judkins can get to that. If it's the 68%, then I'd like his chances a little better.
So, and then you think about the argument the discussion we just had, who has more upside, Kyren Williams versus Breece Hall and Jeremiah Love, and perfectly valid argument that Heath made and I seconded, said Kyren because of the offense. Isn't Javonte Williams going to have a lot more opportunities to score than Quinshon Judkins?
Yeah.
Yes.
So why doesn't he have the most upside?
I mean, it's not an easy... I think you take Bucky Irving off this group just because of what the offseason storyline has been and the additions that they made or kept in the case of Sean Tucker. Like, all four of the other guys, it wouldn't shock me if they're all in a similar range, if they all have great seasons, if they all take a step forward, maybe not ETN a step forward, but on the same plane at least. Like, they're all in great spots. You know, I think the health and offensive changes or you know, just managerial changes in New York and Cleveland are going to be huge for the two guys there. And in the case of ETN, if there's no Kamara, which, you know, even if he's there, it may not matter. But like, you know, the Cowboys offense is clearly going to be one of the best in football if everybody stays healthy. And the Saints are one of the best ascending offenses that we saw last year. And I think got better this offseason. So this is probably of the different groupings that you've done. This is probably the toughest one for me just because I you can make a case for all these guys. So I just kind of gravitate toward the two younger running backs, I think, that have a chance to maybe go to another level. I think what we saw from Javonte last year is he's going to need to score a lot. He should score a lot, but he's going to need to score a lot. His role in the passing game scares me probably more so than anybody else here. And I think we could see a situation where Dallas may not give him the same amount of touches, even though there's not a lot of change in who the second, third, and fourth guy is on the depth chart. But I think they could give a little bit more work to Malik Davis this year just to take something off of Javonte's plate.
Okay, let's go to the wide receivers in round four here. And there are four of them. Garrett Wilson, Zay Flowers, Ladd McConkey, and Luther Burden. Garrett Wilson, Zay Flowers, Ladd McConkey, Luther Burden. Heath, who has the most upside?
I'm going to go with Zay Flowers. Just throw the ball a little bit more, Baltimore, and let Zay Flowers have a 7 or 8 touchdown season. I think he's a top 10 wide receiver.
Dave?
I don't know if I believe this, but I'll make the case for Garrett Wilson based on last year, based on him having this track record of getting a lot of volume and putting up good fantasy production. Now Geno Smith is the quarterback. This is arguably the best quarterback that he's had. Is he better than Aaron Rodgers? Maybe he's the second best quarterback that Garrett Wilson's ever had. And I know that they added some rookies to the passing game. I still think Garrett Wilson can get a good target share. I'm not necessarily saying that he should be the first one drafted of this group, but he's the one that might have the most upside based purely on volume.
Jamie, who has the most upside? Garrett Wilson, Zay Flowers, Ladd McConkey, or Luther Burden?
I agree with Heath that it's Flowers. I guess I'll just make the case for Burden because everybody's going to, you know, want to see Burden take a huge step forward, and hopefully he will. But you have 85 vacated targets from DJ Moore. We saw what Burden did at the end of the season in a couple of games when Odunze was hurt and he started to get opportunities. I mean, all of his advanced metrics are just off the charts, and Burden has a chance, I think, to be featured in Ben Johnson's offense, and that's the hope. And so can he get to where Garrett Wilson was last season in those 5 healthy games when he was over 19 PPR points per game? That's probably a big ask. Can he be more involved in the offense like what we're seeing from Zay Flowers last year, and the touchdowns hopefully will come for him as well? But I think if everybody hits their ceilings, I don't know if Burden gets to that level of where those other guys can get to. And, you know, it's hard to discount what McConkey did his rookie season because he was pretty awesome. But I think Burden has clearly the highest, you know, the biggest room to grow. And he may, you know, outgrow those other guys if just he gets those chances to be featured by Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson this season.
Mm. This, I think, is the toughest one that we've had so far. Wilson, Flowers, McConkey, Burden, who has the most upside? All right, we had two votes for Flowers, one for Garrett Wilson, and we'll leave it there. We're going to take a break. There are three non-running back wide receivers being drafted in this round. We'll talk about their upside when we come back, and then we'll get into round five after this on Fantasy Football Today.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
If your skin or honestly your nervous system feels a bit overwhelmed, this is your sign to simplify. I've been reaching for Primally Pure's Blue Tansy products anytime my skin feels reactive, irritated, or just angry. Blue Tansy is naturally this beautiful sky blue oil that helps calm redness, inflammation, and dryness almost immediately, and you feel it working. What I love is that this isn't just skincare. It's a full head-to-toe ritual. From their cult favorite Blue Tansy deodorant to their soothing collection and body oil, everything is designed to work with your body, not against it. Their formulas use real biocompatible ingredients. No fillers, no fragrance, just ingredients your skin actually recognizes and responds to.
All right, who has the most upside in round four? Well, we've got one tight end and two quarterbacks. So if you think about them in terms of how they, you know, would outperform their position, the value of a replacement, as we just discussed, Drake May, Lamar Jackson, and Colston Loveland. Dave, what's the upside play there?
Lamar is the upside play. Not that I love the idea of taking him in round four. I'm sure there will be some leagues where he's taken in round two, but he's the one that could be number one at his position by a multi fantasy point per game margin. We're talking potentially 29 to 31 fantasy points per game. That would be well ahead of what Josh Allen's been averaging over the last few years. You would love to have that. I don't think Loveland can achieve something similar to that at tight end. And I don't think Drake May will come close.
It's funny because, like, Drake May, we've talked about it, just this historic second year, 8.9 yards per attempt, 72% completion percentage, had a touchdown rate over 6.3%, ran for 450 yards and four touchdowns, and he was still 80% of what Lamar Jackson's two best seasons have been in terms of fantasy points per game.
That's incredible.
Like, it's just not even when Lamar's been at his best, there's almost nobody who touched him.
Yeah. What a great pick I think this is in round four. Do you guys agree, Lamar Jackson here?
I think Dave said he doesn't like it, but that's about where I've got him.
I've got him as a late round four pick. I'd have a hard time taking him in PPR ahead of, like, guys I'm nervous about at other positions, some names, Trayvon Henderson, DJ Moore, Devontae. I don't think I'm going to take Lamar over those guys.
Okay. All right.
But how about this one for a, do you take Neighbors or Lamar if you're drafting today?
I'm pretty low on Neighbors.
Neighbors.
I'm taking Neighbors. It's the reason I would take Loveland over the two quarterbacks here too. I mean, look, obviously Lamar is going to outscore the field if he does what he's capable of doing. And clearly if that's the route you want to go, I get it. But I mean, the fact that Drake May has put himself in this conversation speaks to what this position gives you every year. In some cases, a couple guys, is that you find these quarterbacks late. Now you could say the same thing about Loveland, that you found him late, but if you hit on the tight end and the tight end is good, it's such a difference maker that you almost want to hope that Loveland is what he's capable of being. I mean, 10 targets per game in his, you know, last five games, you know, like, that's unheard of for what he could be this year. And now you're taking a player off the field in DJ Moore. You're seeing this, you know, extremely talented first round pick finally started to develop at the end of the season. So, I mean, look, I get Lamar's a great choice. And so is Drake May, for that matter, you know, if he does what he's capable of doing now with the hope of AJ Brown. But Loveland could be the best tight end in fantasy next year.
There's one other thing. Sorry. There's one other thing. Lamar stunk last year.
It's pretty obvious. You know,
down seasons, basically.
He obviously has the most upside, but he's also got some pretty bad downside. And if you're taking him, this is why I won't take him in round two or round three, is because that downside could make him a terrible pick.
But can I?
And I feel like there's less downside with Loveland. And so you're weighing.
I think there's. I think there's
at their position.
I think there's much more downside with Loveland, but I think in the case of Lamar, like you're not drafting him here with the maybe he's going to be bad. You're drafting him here with, okay, I just got the best quarterback in fantasy, and that's why you're taking him in the spot that you're taking him. I just think that the position's so saturated with talent. Like if you're not taking him for his upside, you're taking him just because you think he's the best player there, which I don't know if that's why you want to draft him in that spot.
So you said he stunk last year, and his, stinking for him, the first three games of the season, he scored over 33 fantasy points. Then he got hurt in week four, but he struggled in that game before getting hurt. Came back and scored over 33 fantasy points against the Dolphins, and then every week it seemed like he had a new leg injury. He just kept playing hurt. He was obviously injured. But if you know, he's a guy where, look, if you think Azer stats are stupid, then I'm sorry, but he's the reason they exist, Lamar Jackson. If you remove injured games and you look at his last 8 seasons, beginning with his, you know, his breakout as a sophomore, this is Lamar Jackson's points per game in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. Removing injured games, he's played some partial games that have killed his stats. 32.5, 25.5, 24.2, 24.3, 23.6, 30, and last year was 21.8. So other than last year, he's almost always at least 24 points per game. And isn't that basically what Drake May averaged last year?
That is. Yes.
24.4.
So I would feel more comfortable with Jackson if they didn't have a new coach. I don't really know what to expect. But, man, he's...
You want to know?
I mean,
I think you should be optimistic about it because they clearly made this decision for Lamar Jackson.
But if you look at his last 3 years with Todd Monken, his yards per attempt have been 8 yards or better every year. So whether that had to do with Monken or not, I mean, he had the most efficient seasons of his career with Todd Monken. I think it was a good marriage.
Yeah, but you also have a guy who's a Sean Payton and Ben Johnson disciple. Like, that's a pretty good place to be coming from.
Sure. I mean, you know, doesn't always work. Like,
of course, but you know, again, they're hopeful. I think that this is Lamar. This is your team. And now you have to go prove that we made the right decision to move on from a Hall of Fame coach to make it your team.
Comment from the chat. Azer stats are the beer goggles of fantasy football. I wouldn't know,
Aaron,
but that's pretty funny.
That's a good one, Aaron.
All right, round five. Jamie, you can start. Who has the most upside among the running backs in round five? There are three of them. DeAndre Swift, David Montgomery, Bashaul Tuten. And in case any of you missed this little disclaimer, we're talking non-injury upside. So, yeah, if DeAndre Swift's the only healthy back, sure, but we expect him to split. But DeAndre Swift, David Montgomery, Bashaul Tuten, who has the most upside, Jamie?
I mean, it's Tuten. You know, if he takes over Travis Etienne's role and is that guy for Jacksonville, like, he's going to outscore both of these guys, maybe by a significant margin. You know, I mean, Etienne was awesome last year while sharing with, you know, Tuten and, you know, to whatever extent with LaQuint Allen. But I think just looking at the opportunity that Tuten is stepping into and Liam Cohen's offense, you know, we'll see what Chris Rodriguez does. But if it's just, okay, now Tuten is the guy, then he's, to me, the best of this trio by far.
Dave?
He's ranked third for me, but I agree that he's got the most upside.
I agree with that also. He's ranked third for me too.
Right.
I'm going to say Swift just because I don't believe that Tuten has the ability to become a three down back in Jacksonville.
Okay. I like that. I knew you weren't going to say
Tuten. Do you believe Swift is going to be a three down back in Chicago after what we saw from Monongai last
year? Every other series he will be.
Okay, fair point.
This is kind of the
but
Kyren
that's still argument. A rough split.
This is right. I mean, for you, this is kind of the Kyren argument maybe too. Like the Bears should have the best offense, except we're not comparing them to the Jets and Cardinals this time.
Well, and I think like, I know I'm not, it's illegal to talk about this, but I think that one injury could turn Swift into a top 12 running back. And I don't think one injury would do that for Tuten.
Agreed. Totally. I mean, again, like if you're drafting these guys, I don't know how you could draft Tuten ahead of them, barring Liam Coleman come out and saying, this is our guy. He's it, you know, he's never going to do that. And they signed Rodriguez for a reason. And I don't think they're done with their backfield, to be honest with you. We'll see if there's another player added. But like Swift, it's almost like Kyren versus who were the other two?
Breece Hall and Jeremiah Love.
Yeah, I mean, Kyren is by far the safest of those three, and Swift is by far the safest of these three.
I don't. Is Kyren really the safest? Because he doesn't really catch the ball, and he splits carries.
You say
you're hoping
really
that the touchdowns carry him
the 34 plus catches. Like that's a pretty good. Well, I mean, for what he does when he's scoring 10 touchdowns and getting you 1,400 total yards every season, like you pencil that in for him because that's what he's giving you. To me, that's safe, and if something happens to Corum, it's huge.
Yeah, if you're just going to pencil the touchdowns in. DeAndre
Swift. Can I give you a point on Montgomery?
Yeah, sure.
We talked about how if Monongai gets hurt, Swift has a better pathway to be top 12. If Rodriguez gets hurt, Tootin could be certainly better. I think Montgomery's already on that path. I'm not sure what this coaching staff thinks of Woody Marks. And Montgomery could – I think he's already, like, clearly the 1A and could be on the field a lot for Houston. And whether or not we agree that he should be in that role or he'll be efficient in that role, that's a different question. But I think he's got it. And I kind of want people to remember that when you get to the round five range of your draft and you're looking for running backs. I think Montgomery's worthy of the pick there because even if he doesn't have the role that I'm laying out, even if he does share with Woody Marks a lot, I think he is going to be their short yardage guy. And usually that hasn't mattered for Houston, but I think it will start to moving forward. And I think he could end up getting a lot of work and being at least like raw numbers good enough to start in fantasy without a second thought.
I just am really, and it's probably just because like bias against Houston, but I'm really afraid it's just another old running back that Houston added.
Yep.
Right after they fell off the cliff.
Mixon do? Yeah, Mixon was
2024.
Great. He was a top 12 running back in 2024.
I mean, they're not the same player. And no. Mixon was still coming off a very good season. David Montgomery's coming off the worst year of his career.
Yeah, it's true.
Hey, he got relegated.
For a reason.
Well, I mean, when you're with Jahmyr Gibbs, and it's easy to be relegated. Yeah.
I still
like him as a low end number two running back.
Oh, I think that's certainly fair.
And I'll take him over Tootin right now. And I said that already. I won't take him over Swift.
I wouldn't take him over Swift. I think when you're drafting David Montgomery, you should be drafting with the idea of you're settling for David Montgomery with the hope that he's still going to score 10 plus touchdowns and maybe do a little bit more in the run game. Or I shouldn't say maybe. Hopefully do a little bit more in the run game than he showed you in Detroit when Gibbs was there. Does he have the upside to be a 1,200 plus yard rusher and score 12 touchdowns? That's probably a stretch. Can he be 1,000 yards and 8 to 10 touchdowns? I think that's realistic.
He averaged 4.5.
That's good for
David Montgomery averaged 4.5 yards per carry last year. I did not even remember that until I just looked it up. But that, you know, it did seem like he was not as effective because he had one game where he averaged 12.6 yards per carry at Baltimore. I think that was a Monday night or something. Yeah, Monday night game. But he did average 4.5 yards per carry. Joe Mixon, I think, did that once in his career. Once. Joe Mixon's averaged more than 4.1 yards per carry one time in his career. That's horrible.
But you can't compare David Montgomery running behind the Lions offensive line to Joe Mixon running behind the Bengals offensive line.
I guess the question is, who was better the year before they went to Houston? Was it Joe Mixon, who averaged 4 yards per carry for Cincinnati, or David Montgomery, who averaged 4.5?
Mixon.
Okay.
Mixon.
Mixon never really been an efficient running back. He just gets every touch. Hopefully that's what happens with Montgomery.
That's what you're counting on.
All right, wide receivers in this round. I think we can split these up. Let's see. This is like Thomas having to do this on the fly. Let's see if he can do this. All right. So there are 7 wide receivers in this round. Let's go first 4 and last 3. The first 4 are DJ Moore, Jalen Waddle, Terry McLaurin, and Marvin Harrison Jr. The last 3 are Jameson Williams, Alec Pierce, and Romo Odunze. So again, Heath, the first 4 are DJ Moore, Jalen Waddle, McLaurin, and Marvin Harrison Jr. Who has the most upside?
I could make an argument for any of the 4 of them. I'm going to make the argument for a guy I think nobody else will. I'm going to say Terry McLaurin because he should be by far and away the number one target in the offense. I don't think that Washington's going to be good enough to just run the ball all the time. So I think he could, he's probably not going to see 10 targets a game, but he could see 9. We've already seen him have a monstrous touchdown season with Jaden Daniels. I think Terry McLaurin could have one more great year.
Okay, so it's Moore, Waddle, McLaurin, and Harrison. Jamie Heath's vote was for DJ Moore, or was for Terry McLaurin. Who's your vote for?
Me make arguments for almost all these guys. I'll go with Pierce just in terms of upside because you're taking 100 targets away from this offense, and they just paid him $1 billion to be the guy. And so, you know, if he can be the guy.
Oh, wait, we're doing it. Sorry, we're just doing the first four.
Oh, I'm
so
sorry.
So it's Moore, Waddle, McLaurin, and Marvin.
Who's the first one?
DJ Moore.
Oh, DJ Moore. I'll probably agree with Heath and say McLaurin. I think again, just you know, Jaden Daniels, number one guy. The number two guy is a rookie at best. If not, it's a you know, retread, Dyami Brown, Van Jefferson, you know, Treylon Burks type guy. It's just it's not pretty. So McLaurin to me is the one most upside of that foursome.
Dave.
Denver didn't give up a first round pick for Jalen Waddle for nothing. I think they need somebody like him in their offense. He gives them, I think he gives them speed. He gives them versatility. And I think he's going to lead that team in targets. And it sounds like I'm dying over here, but I promise I'm not. I think he's the one that could be maybe second in this group in targets per game. DJ Moore might have a lead on him in that category. But I love the upside of him in Denver. Getting a bunch of short and intermediate throws from Bo Nix, along with a couple of deep throws, that's going to happen every single week. And he could, I think he's got top 12 potential in full PPR, and you don't have to draft him that way at all.
Okay, Dave votes for Waddle and Heath and Jamie for McLaurin. Dave, name this movie quote. Name the movie. You're not dying, you just can't think of anything good to do.
That's Ferris Bueller's.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite scenes. All right, next group. Jamie, you're going to make the case for Alec Pierce amongst Jameson Williams, Pierce, and Romo Dunze. Who has the most upside? Jameson Williams, Alec Pierce, Romo Dunze. This is the next three wide receivers going in round 5.
Pierce.
Yeah, I cut you off during your first explanation.
No, I said what I need to say. He's going to get a huge opportunity. He got a huge contract. It's a lot of contingencies. Can he stay healthy? Can Daniel Jones be healthy? Can he, you know, become the alpha of this receiving corps? So it's a lot of questions, but I mean, the path is as easy as it comes. You know, you look at the other two guys. I mean, Odunze might be better than Luther Burden and Colston Lovell, and he might be the third option. Jameson Williams is getting as tight end a friendly coach as you could find, and you know, has Laporta coming back healthy, and Amara St. Brown still there, and you know, loses touchdowns, unfortunately, to Isaac Tesla and has the best running back in fantasy. So there's just a lot of things working against him. So Pierce is, you know, in terms of upside, again, don't have it ranked this way, but Pierce in terms of upside is the, to me, the clear answer here.
Heath, Jameson Williams, Alec Pierce, Romo Dunze. He's got the most upside.
I will go with Romo Dunze. As I said earlier, I have Loveland, Burden, and Odunze all at 126 targets. If one of these guys becomes the clear number one, then any of them could have an immense amount of upside. And it was just 4 games, but he was on pace for 85 catches, 1,258 yards, and 21 touchdowns at the start of last year, and wasn't healthy in the second half. So maybe Romo Dunze is healthy and the number one wide receiver. He's not the guy I'd draft the highest, but I think he has the most upside if he turns into their number one.
Dave?
It's Odunze, and he is the one that I would draft the highest of these three. Jameson actually worries me, because we've done a lot of talking about Drew Petsing going to Detroit and how he's going to favor the tight ends. I think it's going to happen. His track record and the Lions' track record of using multiple tight ends is going to put Laporta on the field more. It's going to design easier throws for Goff to Laporta. There have been very rare occasions where both Laporta and Jameson Williams have had good fantasy games together. I think it's like 5 times in their careers. So I think that Jamo will be the clear number 3 target getter in Detroit, and it might even be number 4, and I feel like Heath has talked about it, and that's why I just heard that sigh, but I'm getting flashbacks to it, and I'm nervous now. I love the talent that Jameson Williams has, but I'm nervous about him being a steady fantasy contributor. I think he might be the one that's going to be the most boom or bust of these three.
Just over the last 3 seasons, Jameson Williams' target per out run rate with Laporta on the field has been 18.2, 18.3, and 14.7%. With Laporta off the field, it was 12.5% in 2023, so it was actually lower, but it was 23.9% in 2024 and 18.8% last year compared to 14.7%.
Didn't even matter last year.
Yeah, 14% with him on the field. So huge, that was just a huge split for Jameson Williams pre and post Sam Laporta, or like with Laporta and without Laporta last year. Okay, so Alec Pierce for Jamie, Odunze for Heath and Dave. And the two non-running backs or wide receivers in this group are Tyler Warren and Joe Burrow. Agree or disagree, Joe Burrow has more upside than any player in this round.
Same with Lamar. It's the same argument. Yes.
Yeah.
Relative to position, obviously, because he's going to outscore everyone. But
yep.
Heath, you don't seem as convinced.
Well, I'm just trying to think of like, what do I think the best success, like LeBron, I think, or LeBron might as well.
Oh,
Lamar could, nobody can argue. He could score 30 points per game.
Yeah.
I don't really think Burrow could score 30 per game.
Nah.
28.
That's what I was trying to decide. Like it, probably,
how about 27?
I think he gets 27.
That's what he had in 2024.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably still the most of any in this group.
Yeah. Well, certainly it's the most, but is it the most, you know, relative to position, I guess?
I mean, he could be a top three player to his position. I don't think these other guys can.
So we didn't say DJ Moore with the most upside. Is any, like, no one feels a Stephon Diggs 2.0 coming for DJ Moore, like going to Buffalo?
He's the one I would draft first because I do think that there's upside, but I don't think there's as much upside as some of these other guys.
Okay. We also have a poll question in the chat in on YouTube, and it is, let's see, where's that poll? Who has the most patience? Adam, Jamie, Dave, or Heath? It's very close at the top, except for me. I am getting 12% of the vote, and the three of you are all getting 28 to 31% of the vote. The current winner, the current leader, is the guy I voted for. Who has the most patience? Dave Richard.
Hmm. I would have voted for Heath.
I think the poll results accurately reflect. I don't think between Dave and Jamie and I, there is a consistent everyday answer.
Yeah,
there's fair. Some days I might be the third most patient. Nobody on this group of us three is ever last. Some days I might be third. Some days I might be second. Some days I might be first.
I think I should be second to last, to be honest with you. It's between the other old heads on this show.
Well,
most patient.
I would say, you know, the thing I'd like to change most about myself is I wish I were a more patient person. I'm working on it. I've gotten better, but it's definitely a big weakness of mine. And I think we'd agree the only negative. So anyway, that's that's it for today's show, and now my percentage has gone down to 11%, even less patient than I was before. My vote. So
I'm getting less patient with you finishing the show.
You have to be patient with me finishing the show. I don't know. I'm in year 17, and I still can't finish the show. We have FFT Express to record soon. That will air. Oh, usually it airs Tuesday. I don't know. Thomas, when's it going to air? Tuesday, Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Okay. We do have another show tomorrow and Thursday, and we thank you all for watching and listening. Just going to sit here and just patiently exit. All right, we're out of here. See you later, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Game.
Paramount Podcasts.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really? Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?